So Genesis 28, verse 16 is where we're going to start. But what I want to do something today is, I was thinking, what am I going to teach? You know, I got to do this every pray, ask God, what are you going to do? So I'm going to have fun. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to have fun. All right. And nice, simple. We're just going to read the scriptures. And the title of this teaching is The Lord Is. Yahweh Is. And all I did, I went through the scriptures and looked every place where it says the Lord, Yahweh, is, and just read the verse, looked at the verse. You know, God Almighty is beyond my comprehension. I mean, if you just think about it, he's way. I used to think that I was getting a handle a long time ago when I first started learning the Bible. But then all of a sudden, you know, the more you meditate on what it says in scripture, the bigger he gets in your heart. And the bigger that you keep him in your heart, when you go to your father and you ask for help, then the smaller your problem is. Let's put it that way. So that's what I wanted to do this morning. I just wanted to read these wonderful scriptures and go through it with you. I got many more than I'll probably read, but in 28:16, it says, and Jacob waked out of his sleep. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. You know, and I thought, God is present everywhere. The Lord is present in this place. In Exodus 15, and it says, Yahweh is my strength, in verse 2. Yahweh is my strength and my song. He is become my salvation. He is my God, the Almighty God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my Father's God. And I will exalt him. The Lord, and that word for Yahweh there is Yah. It's a wonderful title for God. The Lord Yah is a man of war. The Lord Yahweh is his name. When this was a song that Moses sang after they'd come and crossed the, the Red Sea was divided and the Egyptian armies were destroyed. And this was at that time, this is a song that Moses sang during that time. And it's a declaration. Yahweh is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. You know, he is, but he has become. He's already done this for us, you know. He is my God. That's the title El, the Almighty. And I will prepare him a habitation, my Father's God, Eloah. And I will exalt him. Yahweh, it says the Lord here. It says Yah is a man of war. He is the God who fights for his people. Yahweh is his name. That's why I know that Yah is not a shortened nickname for God. That's what the commentators have. Basically, I know I'm a little irreverent. You know, I'm not very reverent at all when it comes to the commentators. Yah is a title for the God all who fights for his people. And that name comes up, but it won't come up in this teaching. He is the one that stands against the devil and fights for God's people. In Exodus 18, your father is always there. He's always present. Even when you don't think, and you didn't think he was, he's always there. And he has become our salvation. In 18:11. Now I know Yahweh is greater than all gods, for in this thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. God Almighty, our Father, is greater than all the gods that people have. And people got a lot of them. You know, Numbers 14. In verse 9, it says, only rebel not you against the Lord, neither fear you the people of the land, for they are bread for us, for their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. Now, this was when they were searching out the land, and just before they sent them out, and Caleb and Joshua went out, searched out the land. The other leaders went out, and they were afraid. They came back, gave an evil report against the land. These guys, Joshua, Caleb, were the only two believers among them. And the Lord is with us. You know, when you know Almighty God, and you know that he sent you to do something, and you're supposed to not only do it, but you trust that he can bring it to pass. He's big. These other people, God was small. God was small. Oh, we're like grasshoppers. There's giants over there. There's too many of them. There's too much of this. There's too much of that. And people fear. And why you fear? Because your God is too small. And that's one of the reasons why I just enjoy reading some of these verses. Our Father is the Lord God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Every little molecule, he's the one that thought it through, put it together. Every single thing that's out there, there's nothing that hasn't been created by him. And he chose to have you as his kid. All you had to do was believe the word. You build him. You make him, you read what his word says about him. You stick it in your heart and you don't let it go. And there's no reason to fear. You know, the world's falling apart, right? You got all kinds of, they've been lying to you forever. All right. In the 60s, we had 10 years before we ran out of oil. You know, and just every decade. All right. The 70s, we were going to have ice age in 10 years. We were all going to die. The oceans were going to freeze over. You know, in the 80s, it was another freaking lie. 90s was another lie. They're still lying to you. And people are still buying into it. You know? Who was the little girl that got... Who? Yeah. Little girl... You're listening to a kid. You're listening to a 16-year-old little kid scream at you that the world's going to end in 10 years. Come on. Please, give me a break. look at the scriptures. See who your father is. When he says the planet's going to melt, that's when it'll melt. And it won't be because of global warming. Because he wants the clean house. That's why. Oh, Lord, save us from stupidity. You know, and look at the, there's another beautiful one here in Numbers. It's verse 18. The Lord is long-suffering. He is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. And Moses said, pardon the iniquity of this people, and God pardoned. He's long-suffering. Full of mercy, it forgives iniquity. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 2. There's a bunch of other verses, but they didn't fall into the to the simplicity of what I was looking up. So, you know, God is love. God is light. God is just. They didn't, I want what the Lord is, Yahweh is. There's a lot of other wonderful things. So, 1 Samuel chapter 2, in verse 3, it says, talk no more so exceedingly proud. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. I love that. By him actions are weighed. You know, it's good to keep your mouth shut for a while. And just do what you're supposed to do. 2 Samuel 22. Like I said, I just wanted to have a wonderful time reading some of these beautiful verses. They all praise God. All these verses praise Almighty God. They all worship him. They all extol him and lift him up. And I told you to go to 2 Samuel 22 and verse 2. And I get there. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence. You know, if you think about the words that are used here, and think about the old, the walls of the fort. He's my refuge. In other words, the walls are all about me. That's the way they were thinking here when he put this down. He's my high tower. You know, these were in the most defensive positions that were possible in those days. There was nothing better. He's my salvation. He's the one that's doing the battle. See, Yah is a man of war. God does the battles. He does the battles. Remember when Israel was walking, they got the letter from the Syrians and Hezekiah, I believe it was. He brought it into the temple and he laid it out before the Lord. And he said, look at what they're going to do. And there was a couple of 100,000 coming against them. And there was no strength, he said. The king says, there's no strength to do any of this. I got nothing. I got nothing for these people. And the prophet walked in, says, don't worry about it. This is the McKay version, okay? Don't worry about it. The Lord will, he'll do battle for you. So they sent out the next morning. They went out to see the battle. They went up, they were on the hill, and they put the priest in front, and they sang songs in front. They had the dancers and the guys playing the instruments, and that's how they marched out to battle, with the musicians in front, singing praises to God. And it says, and the angel of the Lord went in the camp of the enemy, and they all killed each other, and there were 200,000 dead. Oh, and then they just went out and collected the change out of everybody's pocket. You know, God doesn't lose. Our Father doesn't lose. The only people who lose are the ones who aren't walking with the Father. I mean, just think about it that way. If you and I, we fall asleep today, let's say we fall asleep today, I don't lose. I'm going to be with him forever, right? So even in that, I'm not talking about, you know, you physically lose the job, you lose your battle, you lose, you stub your toe. We got to think a little bit bigger. We have the victory in Christ Jesus because our Father, he's worked it out. He has saved us. He saved them because it was his will. They asked, they prayed, and you know what? The armies, they didn't run. They didn't run for the hills. They didn't abandon the city and run for the hills. They walked over to the temple and they laid out the letter before the Lord because they knew the Lord was present. They knew that they had a place to go for help. You get it? Most people, the noise happens, they run like a scalded dog. Believers, they don't have that kind of fear. Concern? Oh, yeah, I bet you every one of them was sweating. But then they had the guts to walk out and sing songs in front of a 200,000 person army. Sometimes in fellowship, we can't even get people to sing out loud because they're too embarrassed that a guy next to them is going to hear them. I just picked on a lot of people there. Let's go to verse 31. As for God, this is about his way is perfect. His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to them that trust in him. His way is perfect and his word is perfect. We put it on in our lives. We walk in it. Go to 1 Kings chapter 8. In verse 60, that all the people of the earth may know the Lord is God. the Almighty. Yahweh is the Almighty, and that there is none else. Love that verse. I want everybody on the earth to know. Nehemiah, we did this not that long ago. Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, it says, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to them of whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord, unto our Lord. Neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Oh, we did that teaching not that long ago. Psalm. Whole bunch of them in Psalms, but we're going to go to Psalm 9. The ninth Psalm, verse 16. Said, the Lord is known by the judgment which he executed. The wicked is snared in his work of his own hands. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executed. Love that. It's nice. 16, the 16th Psalm. Obviously, I didn't pick them all, but verse 5. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The Lord is my inheritance. That's like, everybody wants, you know, when Uncle Joe, when he goes, everybody wants what Uncle Joe's got, right? Well, you know what? God is my inheritance. We're in his family. The point is, he ain't going to go anywhere. He ain't dying. He ain't leaving. I am part of his inheritance. He owns the heavens and the earth. He's got everything that there is to get. There's nothing more you could ever want. Security, peace, love, tranquility, perfection, eternity. I mean, sit around and think about it. Sit around and really think about these things. That's what's required. You know, you can take one beautiful, simple chapter in the Bible and you sit around and think about it for a while, and it will be outstanding in your heart and in your mind. And whatever things you got, they'll melt away. Whatever needs you have, they'll melt away. Because he's your inheritance. He is your portion. He is your lot. You know, the lot is like the lot that this house sits on, a lot. He is my lot. All right, let's go to Psalm 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock, again, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. And I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. That's all it takes. Know who he is. That there's no doubt in your mind that he can deal with this. Have a relationship with him that you know you can trust him, because he's always present. He is long-suffering. He is forgiving. He clears the guilty, the iniquity. I mean, there's nothing that he wants you. He is your portion, your salvation, your, you know, he wants you with him. He's given you the victory, the strength, all of these wonderful things. And it's for real. I mean, how many times does he have to say it in manifestations? How many times does he have to say it in the scriptures? He says it over and over and over and over and over again. Why? Because we're not the sharpest knives in the drawer. You know, take that, sharpen things up a little bit in your head. Hold on to something for a little while. Just for a little while. My Lord. So Psalm 19's got some beautiful ones. Psalm 19 is all about praising the glory of God. Let's look at these verses. Verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the souls. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And the last one, verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. What a beautiful thing. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Psalm 23:1. He is. He's the one taking care of me. He's the one guiding me. He's the one helping me. He's the one that loves me. He loved me before I loved me. Psalm 25. Psalm in verse 14 says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. He shows you stuff. He has shown us stuff. 27, Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We really believe that? That's the question that hits me every time I come across things like this and these kinds of scriptures. McCabe, do you really believe this? You know, and I'm the one, it's about me. I'll tell you what, when I started so many, many years ago, the answer on every scripture was no. And then yes to this one, and yes to that one, and yes to the next one. Because I built just do simple things like this. You know, just look up the word love and read all of, I mean, it ain't that hard to do. You got these phones now that can do it for you. You don't even have to turn the pages. But you just take the scriptures. You want to know about something. You want to build your faith on a topic. I mean, not every verse that's got that word in it is going to be applicable. But the point is that you will see a ton of them that will be. Just read them. When you come across one that, do I really believe that? Do I really believe the Lord is my inheritance? My portion, my God. Then you start putting the Bible on, you start putting these words on, you start walking out on it. If it says don't fear, then get yourself not to fear. Rebuke it and walk and challenge yourself. You go further than you've ever gone before. Yeah, you know, the only way I know how to do any of these things tells you to love, and you know that he's put his love in you, then start practicing that love. Start practicing the forgiveness that he wants to give you, that he has given you, and he expects you to give it to others. This is, you know, it's just fun to read these verses and think about these wonderful things. Go to go to 33 for a second. We're going to finish up here in Psalms. Verse 4, it says, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. And then 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Beautiful. And then, let's go to 34 is beautiful. I can't skip 34. 34, 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. 16. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Oh, isn't that sweet? I love that. The evil, his face is against, cut them off. They're gone. These people are going to be dealt with. That makes me very happy. Makes me extremely happy. Verse 16. Yep, I did that one. Verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit, a humble spirit. Beautiful. Isaiah 33, verse 22. The Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. Talk about the phrase, the Lord is, three times in one verse. He's our judge, he's our Lord giver, and he will save us. in let's cut over 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You know, the whole earth has a history, right? And the only people who had any kind of liberty were the people who ran the show, the kings. You know, and not even the people that were just underneath the king, because they were all scared to death of the king. Just a very few people. When you think about society, women had no liberty, right, throughout all history, for the most part. They were, children had no liberty. People had no liberty. I mean, for the most part, you have a population of the earth that's been in bondage forever. And even if you weren't in bondage to another person, you're in bondage to your situation. You know, to the elements. We were talking about the weather before. Well, everybody here is a weatherman. And everybody's talking about the weather. And then, you know, you got just the life that you had. You had, so the things would stand against us. There's no liberty. So whether it be the elements, whether it be the neighbors, whether it be the next tribe over, whatever. I mean, it always seemed that everybody was in danger. Everybody was underneath something else, or somebody was trying to keep you underneath. Right? It just seems that way to me in history. And as things changed, the more things changed, more things still stay the same. The Lord. I got it. For the first time in my life, I was free when I became a believer. I was free. I had liberty. I didn't have to worry about the folks around me. I didn't have to worry about the boss. I didn't have to worry about a blessed thing, because you know what? My Father was my God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Nobody. He's the one that gives liberty. You know, the guys who wrote the Constitution basically understood this from the scriptures. You know, he is the one that gives us rights that nobody can take away. You can surrender them, but nobody can take them really away. They're not granted to me by any except the Lord God Almighty, my Creator. I love it. It's Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4 and verse 5. It says, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. He's always there. That's kind of where we started out, right? The Lord is there. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. These beautiful truths. Hope you had fun doing this. First Thessalonians, chapter 4 and in verse 6. that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. That's something. Anybody who defrauds you, God is going to take care of business. He is the one who is going to avenge you. You don't have to worry about it. Boy, isn't that a little bit of liberty right there? Yeah. The whole world, it seems like it's waiting to pounce. I owe you this. I hit you right in the mouth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. It says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. He's the one that keeps us from evil. Beautiful. And Hebrews chapter 13. One of my favorite verses. In verse 6, it says, well, let me read. I'm going to end here. Let me just read this verse 5. Let your conversation, your behavior be without covetousness. You know, just don't get into being covetous, worrying about what somebody else has got. I want what these people got. I want this guy's wife. I want whatever. Don't get into covetousness. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me. I don't need to be covetous. I don't need to worry about anything else. So that I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. That's exactly what Abraham did when he came back from that war. There's not a one of you that's going to say you made me rich. For I've lifted my hand unto the Lord. He is the one who provides for me. And God said to him, because you did this, I am going to exceedingly multiply you. You stood up. I'm your God. I'm your inheritance. You got it. You make me God, I will take care of you. That's what I wanted to do today. I hope you enjoyed it.